Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Red Sox here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Gabrielle, founder of Girl at the Game, and it's been a while, but we are back with my friend, Ty Kelly. It's not a Tuesday, so we're doing Ty Thursdays. Hi, buddy. Thanks for coming back.
Of course. Thanks for having me back on. It's been so long.
I know, but also you and I get to talk every week now because we are working on a very special project together, which we will talk about later in the episode. But the reason that I wanted you to come back today, aside from the fact that you are one of my mother's two favorite Locked On Red Sox guests, she likes listening to you way more than she likes listening to me, is because it was officially announced today that there will be a minor league season. So I would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, well, thank you so much to Mama Star for, for having me as one of her favorite guests. Always fun to come on. Yeah, so we have a minor league season. I guess that's a good place to start. The guys are going to get to play this year. Obviously, it means tons of different things. It means that all of the shakeup that happened is going to, come into play this year. It also means that starting at the beginning of the season, like, guys have to go through spring training, and who knows how much they've even heard about spring training at this point if they're not on a major league roster. Of course, the MLB guys are getting to their spring training sites now, but it would be very interesting to try and pack, however many guys they try and pack into their spring training sites, how many people get invites, how many go straight to extended, or what's going to happen with kind of everything there on the minor league side. So a lot of unknowns, but also a lot of, at least they're playing, I guess, is the most important thing. And hopefully they have figured everything out to be able to do it in a safe way.
Having spent spring trainings and baseball seasons as both a minor leaguer and a major leaguer, what can you tell our listeners about the difference between being a minor leaguer at spring training versus being in the big leagues?
Well, it's kind of the same thing in that they're both playing baseball. Besides that, it feels tremendously different. they both of them are not getting paid. They're not getting salaries, I guess, is the point. The big league guys are getting like $100 in meal money a day. The minor league guys are getting $25 in meal money a day. And I guess it always comes back to food. You're just at the mercy of your organization when you're on the minor league side. I'm just hoping that they have good accommodations for feeding you for breakfast and then lunch, and then you're on your own for dinner. But yeah, it can be bad if you're not in an organization that is putting nutrition at the forefront, or just eating in general, even if it's not healthy stuff. I was in an organization where the breakfast that is provided for guys, like, that's the big thing, is that breakfast and lunch are provided, you only get $25 in meal money for dinner. Breakfast that was provided was the hotel breakfast. So they said, we assume that if you're on the minor league side, you're going to stay at the hotel, which I didn't, but the breakfast that was provided there was the one that the organization considered to be the provided meal. And it was basically like your bagels and cereal. And that was it. It wasn't like a order at a restaurant kind of breakfast. It was the bare minimum, have a bagel and some cereal and then come and play baseball all day in the scorching Arizona heat and get a turkey sandwich for lunch or something like that. So I think that right there pretty much sums it up. You've got guys on the big league side being taken care of by personal chefs. They're making things for exactly how they want it. Guys on the minor league side are just kind of scratching together meals and hoping for the best.
And I think that that's one of the kind of interesting things just in terms of celebrities in general versus normal people is like athletes are celebrities. And the irony is that celebrities who can afford pretty much whatever they need are getting things for free. Whereas guys who are just your regular Joe, you know, Joe minor leaguer, for example, have to pay for things. Like I remember, actually, you might've been the one who told me this, that minor leaguers have to pay for their own laundry for their uniforms.
Well, yeah, you're paying for clubhouse dues and that's
right, clubhouse dues.
Part of it. Yeah.
And yeah. I just remember this story about when David Price was on the Rays, he apparently found out that he was allergic to the detergent that they were using to launder their uniforms. And they had to start laundering his uniforms with a different detergent just for him. And I highly doubt that he was the one paying for that separate expense or that extra effort of having to have his uniforms laundered separately from everyone else's. It's just a very unbalanced system in a way of like the people that need the help the most are the ones who aren't getting it. Whereas the MLB players for the Red Sox and Yankees who played in the London series, for example, received tens of thousands of dollars in bonuses just for playing in those games.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they usually get somewhere around, yeah, between like 20,000, something like that to play in those special games. And the guys that played in like Williamsport or wherever they have those games. Yeah. I mean, it's very much the rich get richer constantly, you know, for especially in baseball, the amount of like free stuff that guys are getting. And yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about minor league laundry, minor league laundry is essentially putting everything that you're using for that day from every player and throwing it into one batch of laundry. And it's like, it's just mass, like mass laundry that there's no care taken at all. I mean, the clubbies in the minors are working on only so much money the same way the players are. So they're, you know, pinching pennies on laundry detergent and stuff like that, and most of the time your stuff comes out wet and wrinkly and you just have to deal with it.
That just makes me think of like my Jewish overnight camp when I was a kid, and we would have laundry day. We would each have to bring our laundry bag down, throw it in a pile in the camp gymnasium, and they would come and they would get picked up and then they would bring them back. And every single time you ended up with some stuff in your laundry that was not yours. The boys always found it really funny when they ended up with girls' underwear in their bags, and it was just a mess. But I'm curious, what was the worst living situation you had when you were in the minors?
Definitely my first full season in the minors in low A in 2010. I stayed in the living room. You have a 3-bedroom apartment with 3 other guys who all had their own rooms. And yeah, I stayed on an air mattress in the living room, and we didn't have any furniture or TV or internet or anything. It was just, we're paying for this apartment so that we can sleep here, basically. That was it. I was just in the living room, like by myself, on my air mattress with my one pillow. And we didn't even have blinds or curtains or anything. So it was very much just like, it was a very lonely feeling out there with just like nothing happening in the apartment. So I think that was definitely the worst, even though I did the next year, I did the like 6 guys and a 3-bedroom thing, which is, you know, all too common, of course.
I remember a friend of mine in the Boston Red Sox organization telling me that they at one point had a guy living in their apartment who would sleep in the bathtub, like lined with towels and pillows, but like a full grown baseball player sleeping in a bathtub to save money. And there were like 7 guys living in that apartment. And it was just so crazy and terrible to me. Before we talk about advocates for minor leaguers, which of course plays perfectly into this conversation, I have to talk about BetOnline for a second, because BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action football is over, but the NBA, you have college basketball, NHL, and baseball, of course, is coming back. They even cover awards, TV shows, reality TV, and they have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. So they have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Built Bar makes the best tasting protein bars on the market. And for a limited time only, they're having a flash sale on the Coconut Puff Bar. It's luscious chocolate, soft marshmallow made with premium collagen protein blend. 16 grams of protein, 130 calories, but only 6 grams of sugar. And you already know, if you listen to Locked On Red Sox, these are the best tasting protein bars on the market. This bar is gluten-free, preservative-free, and for one day only, February 19th, you can get the Coconut Puff Bar on sale. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code locked on for 20% off your entire order. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts a breakdown of the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. The return of minor league baseball is about the perfect reason to talk about the project that you and I are working on together. It's your project, but you very generously invited me to be a part of it, knowing how much I care about this. You are one of the people behind Advocates for Minor Leaguers. Can you tell our listeners how the project came to be, what the goals are, and how they can get involved?
Yeah. And so in the fall, we got a call from a guy that went to Davis, where I went, Raul Jacobson, and he was talking to Garrett Brasha, who has been doing a class action for years now for minor league baseball players. And they were talking about putting together this organization. They asked if I wanted to be a part of it. I said, of course, any way to help out minor leaguers. And I've got my roommate, our buddy Matt Perret, on board, and have continued to grow, including bringing yourself on board. And basically, we are a nonprofit advocacy group for minor leaguers, and have been, you know, since the beginning of this year, basically, have been attempting to be the voice of the minor leaguers and advocate for them, because they have never had a seat at the bargaining table and have never been able to bargain and negotiate on their own behalf. It's always other groups doing it for them and telling them what things are going to be like, you know, giving them no say. And when you have such a high turnover and so, you know, thousands of players, it's hard to get everyone on the same page. But that's essentially what we are attempting to do. We're kind of being, you know, we're the beginning stages of getting everyone together, and you know, the end goal of letting all of these guys negotiate for themselves and not continue to be taken advantage of and make poverty level wages the way that they have for, you know, for decades now.
And so I'm curious, because the current collective bargaining agreement expires after this season, and we've already seen a lot of strife between MLB and the Players Association, the MLBPA, which obviously minor leaguers, like you said, they don't have a voice. One of the things that Advocates is advocating for is the unionization of the minor leagues, because they don't have a voice. Do you think, based on the fact that in the last year we've seen zero minor league season and we had to fight to get minor leaguers that weekly stipend, and MLB just basically seemed like it didn't even want to have a 2020 season. There has been so much arguing and so much negativity. And of course, the cutting of 42 minor league club affiliations. How do you see all of that playing out in terms of the CBA coming up at the end of this season?
Well, I mean, I think that it's been such a crazy year for everyone that it's really unfortunate that Major League Baseball has been able to essentially lay out exactly what they have wanted to happen for a while, and you know, and cut those teams, and you know, in doing so, cut tons of players, and of course the communities as well. But I think that as things get back to normal and we're all able to, I guess, negotiate on like a level playing field again. I think that people just want to see baseball. And I hope that the minor leaguers, from their standpoint, that they're going to have representation sooner rather than later. And I think that the MLBPA will hopefully be willing to bring them in and to be able to have everyone under their supervision, I guess, under their representation. And yeah, I think that that's something that's realistic, but it's just been hard. Everyone is sort of taking care of themselves right now, which makes a lot of sense. But I think that with cutting all the players, that it makes it a lot easier to get everyone together. And I think that as we move forward, that's something that seems natural that should happen. But like I said, I think it's just like getting back to a level playing field first. And then once things are somewhat normal again, that they will finally be able to be part of the next CBA or however far down the line it is. But at some point soon, I think that they're going to actually be a part of the negotiations and be at the bargaining table.
Before we wrap up, we have to talk about the fact that you mentioned it's been a crazy year for all of us. You retired from Major League Baseball. Then you joined Team Israel for the Olympics, which of course the Olympics were postponed. And now you are on the Kansas City Monarchs. How did that happen?
Yeah, there's been...
You're like, I'm retiring. Just kidding. I'm an Olympian. Just kidding. I'm on the Monarchs. Just kidding. I'm also still an Olympian.
Yeah, there has been no shortage of crazy anywhere, including my, playing career and then lack thereof and then playing career again. So yeah, I retired and then went to the Olympic qualifiers and then we made it. And then it was like, okay, well, I'm going to need to get ready somehow. And then the Olympics got postponed. So and I was just out for a season. And then now, I mean, there's no way in my mind that I could prepare for the Olympics without playing somewhat consistently leading up to that. I don't think there's any amount of, fungo ground balls and batting practice off of a pitching machine that could really prepare me for, any game action, let alone the Olympics. So I had to find a place to play, and it just kind of worked out that a friend had a connection and made a call because he knew they were looking for players. And yeah, and should be interesting. My first year of independent baseball. So it's like a whole new experience. It's a whole different animal. I'm excited to see what it's all about. It's nice that I get to go into it not as someone who is like, I need to play really, really well or else I won't get signed somewhere. I have different goals from, I think, a lot of the other players who are trying to get back into affiliated baseball, where I'm mostly trying to play well because I want to prepare for the Olympics and I want to be as ready as possible for that one tournament. So it should be fun, I think, and I'm excited about it. And, it has been very crazy, but here we are back playing again.
Well, I'm personally thrilled, but what does this mean for Sweet Potato Ties? Because I feel like with Steve Cohen buying the Mets, we were so close to you getting a sweet potato food truck.
Yeah, I think that at the end of the day, the better I do in the Olympics, the better chance I have of, bringing Sweet Potato Ties to the world. And I think that, it's just one more thing that I'm kind of preparing for. And even if it's not going to happen this year at any point, it's okay. I think that the Mets are going to have a really good season. So, maybe with a little more money in their pocket and whenever fans come back, there is going to be some more funds for, another food truck in the stadium. Who knows? I have high hopes for it. Like I said, the better I do in the Olympics, the better publicity I get, and I can talk about it on an international stage. And I think that, I don't want to stop at Citi Field. I think it's an international kind of phenomenon, if you will. And I think that it's coming to the world soon. And when, I'm not sure, but definitely soon.
Well, if you're going to turn it into an international phenomenon, please bring it to Fenway Park, because our vegetarian options are seriously lacking. They had a veggie burger that was really good. And then after the 2017 season, the veggie burger just disappeared. So now at the ballpark, I just eat tater tots and chocolate milkshakes, which is just a really unhealthy diet for someone who's at the ballpark like 5 days a week. But my friend, thank you so much for coming back on for Thai Thursday.
Thanks for having me back on.
Of course. And tell everyone where they can find you on social.
ThaiKelly11 on Twitter and Instagram. And it's a lot of sweet potato Thai talk.
And of course, check out MILB Advocates on Twitter. And you can follow me on Twitter at GFSTAR1. You can follow Locked On Red Sox at LO_Red Sox. Welcome back to Minor League Baseball. And as always, wear your mask and go Red Sox.